Welcome back to Start Kyle Orton. I'm Travis. He's Kyle, and he's starting the drinking early after this one, folks. It's doom and gloom this week.
It's a diet Mountain Lightning, son, because I ain't got that Mountain Dew money. I got two kids, so.
This is all I can afford, the Mountain Lightning. Riding the lightning, but sensibly. He's on a diet, folks.
Right? Mountain Dew in this economy? No.
The Bears have fallen, sadly, to 9-4.
The win streak has ended.
Have barely come out ahead of us.
The sky is falling. Travis out here, he's going to blow some smoke up your ass about moral victories because he's gone soft.
Yeah.
I can feel it coming. I'm here. I'm old Uncle Kyle. I'm here to be angry.
Are you going
to
be angry?
No, I'm not going to be that angry.
We haven't been able to be angry the last few weeks, so.
Yeah,
I mean,
the anger is nothing new. It's that we are in the fourth year of the Ryan Poles administration.
Oh,
he has been
Ryan
able.
Poles episode.
I don't know if this is the Ryan Poles episode. I didn't come prepared for that. We need to really do that. It's gonna happen, folks. I know we keep teasing it, but. But if nothing else, we have a Ryan Poles special planned for the off season. That's for sure.
That's true.
But no, I mean, it's just like they got, and we'll get into Caleb here in a second. Typical Chicago sports discourse: the defense gave up 28 points, got beat on three explosive pass plays in the span of like 4 minutes, and all the discourse is on the quarterback. But like, they got one goddamn QB hit. One goddamn hit, that's all we got? I don't know if you could say goddamn it on this podcast, but nobody's listening anyway. So,
we are ready to go
That's a major league reference. Surely you got that.
Just a bit outside. Caleb, no. God, throwing the game away.
Yeah, no, I mean, let's start where we always start. Caleb
start
Williams.
With Caleb. Caleb, you's trash. Did you see that last pass, Kyle? Drinks whiskey.
Yeah, I think you and I are probably both in agreement that, like, that was actually, like, that second half was maybe the best half of football he's ever played.
That's probably
the
best game of the season from Caleb, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and in the first half, yes, I know the numbers were bad, but, like, he... Really funny, folks. He had an adjusted completion percentage of over 71% in that game. He had a positive CPOE, which, you know, I don't love completion percentage over expectation, but I do find that really funny that for as much as people have been panicking all year long, he had a positive CPOE in that game because of the fucking throwaway. And that I did enjoy. I was listening to Kurt Warner's radio hit, as I usually do with the score, and Matt Spiegel was panicking, as he tends to do, about the completion percentage stuff. And the very first thing Kurt Warner said was, well, he threw the ball away like 7 times in that game. One thing that really, like, one reason I don't get caught up on the completion percentage stuff is that he's doing a really good job of throwing the ball away this year. A lot of these young kids coming to the league nowadays, they just take a bunch of dumb sacks, but their completion percentage is high. So I was like, yes, thank you, Kurt, because Caleb does now lead the entire NFL in throwaways with 29. He has the sixth most drops with 20 dropped passes. He has the second most batted passes, which, granted, Caleb is responsible for some of those, but like, those three things right there should tell you why you're probably stressing a bit too much about the completion percentage. That game was a perfect example because I felt like Caleb had two inaccurate passes in that entire game. It was the first third down that he sailed over someone's head. I can't even remember. And then the last pass of the game, he just left it a little short. Made the right read, was a tick late getting there, left it a little short. Really fucking sucks, but like, otherwise...
It should not have been run under any circumstances, in my opinion.
I think the stat someone shared today was, in the first half of that game, the Bears had 6 third downs. They had to do straight dropbacks on all 6. And on those 6 plays, no play action, just straight dropbacks, the Packers averaged 2.15 seconds time to pressure. Like, that is just, you can't play quarterback under those conditions. So yeah, the first half numbers were gaudy, were ugly. Second half, Caleb adjusted, Ben adjusted. Caleb made a ton of plays out of structure. Ben went heavy play action, spammed the boot button. I'm not sure what they're gonna do in a couple weeks, because they're gonna need to have a better plan for Parsons than that, because you can't just spam play action and boot all game long. The Packers are definitely going to come prepared for that next time, but that's a problem for 2 weeks from now. But I thought Caleb battled. He made something out. I mean, that throw to fucking Kmet was just the best. I don't know that, but I don't want to be too much of a recency bias person, but is that not the best throw you've ever seen a Bears quarterback make in your fucking life?
If it wasn't that one, it was the touchdown to Oz. Like, what the fuck was that? How did that ball get in there?
And the one to fucking Devin Duvernay. First of all,
Duvernay.
We got fucking Devin Duvernay figuring out how to run the goddamn scramble drill with Caleb Williams. Not sure why DJ Moore still fucking can't. Well, actually, I can. It's because he stops fucking running.
He gives up on a play. He does.
He gives. I'm just probably the least amount of, and it's funny because, you know, there's dooming and glooming and he threw the interception. This course, all the discourses, Caleb did this. Caleb should have teleported the ball through two defenders to DJ Moore while running to his left and stop and throw sidearm to his right in a non-existent window. And real banner day for the fucking screenshot crowd. You're like, look at this screenshot of a wide open DJ Moore as the ball is already in the air to Cole. Like, that's not how this shit works. Ben Johnson even came out today and was like, no, DJ is never an option at any point in real time there. And that still didn't shut people up. So, I mean, Caleb's, we know the story with Caleb at this point. He's not going to win anybody over that isn't already won over until the stats are just incontrovertibly good. No matter how much context you want to add to the stats, people just don't give a shit. Like that, Adam Johns is freaking out about Caleb's completion percentage after that game where he had to throw the ball away 7 times, where he had a positive completion percentage over expectation, adjusted completion percentage over 70%. He's still freaking out.
Yeah, this game was a blowout. It was about to be another Green Bay ass kicking of the Bears. We were about to be on fraud alert. I was all ready to, you know, come in here and turn that fraudulence right back around for the Bears to pick us up with the Eagles. And Caleb single-handedly starts avoiding the fucking hellacious Packers pass rush.
He took
drags
one
the
sack.
Bears back into this game.
One sack in that game.
I mean,
game.
It feels impossible because
on
that entire first half.
15 pressures.
I mean, it felt like a pressure every play, right? It wasn't just Parsons. It wasn't just Parsons. It was their whole fucking defensive line. It was the blitzes. We had Kyle Manungai trying to block three dudes at once out there at one point. Like, I mean, that should never happen in a Ben Johnson offense. You should never have that much miscommunication.
Yeah, well, that was what
this offensive line has been a massive strength for the Bears for weeks and weeks.
Well, and to
now.
Be fair, I don't know that. I mean, Darnell Wright has struggled, especially in the first half. That's rough to say. We love Darnell. Yep. Jonah Jackson struggled in the first half, but also a lot of it wasn't so much that the individual linemen really struggled as early in that first half. Like Halfley, I'll say this about Jeff Halfley, he's the goods. In Green Bay. I've thought that. I know you've been watching the Packers all year long and you've been focusing on how inconsistent their offense is. And last week, you were like, I don't know if the Pack, I don't know why everyone's so sure of the Pack. And I was like, I don't know, man. I think some weird shit's happened on their offense,
I was saying the exact opposite of people. Everybody was harping on the wrong matchup, where I was like, I'm more worried about scoring on the Packers. I don't really care about their offense. Their offense is going to do what it does. I think Dennis Allen, he's going to get some shit for this, which makes sense because sometimes his play calls are outlandish. But you expect this with a DA defense. He's going to give up some explosive plays, but he's going to get the explosive plays in return. We're going to get to giving up 28 points to the Packers one way or the other with this defense, with our secondary as injured as it is, right? Like, you can't go out there and expect Dennis Allen to hold a team to 3 points in a game. Yeah. You know, it's usually some give and take.
Well, I think Halfley, their defense coordinator, really is legit. Have thought that since he took over there. And he just exploited their protection rules in the first half. Just absolutely was getting free rushers. There was one play early on where both Gary and Parsons managed to get through the middle of the line unblocked. So that wasn't great. And I feel like the Bears, understandably, they made sure to set things up so that Trapillo was Justin Herbert just got hit and threw a wounded duck interception, I think. Not sure what was happening there. Sick. Sorry, got distracted. No, I think they really set things up so that Ozzie Trapio wouldn't be left alone on an island, and they were hoping that they could leave Darnell Wright on an island, and that didn't work out early on, unfortunately. So yeah, I mean, I will be interested to see in 2 weeks for the rematch what the Bears' plan is for protection wise, how they're going to adjust to what Halfley did, because he definitely seemed to find something on the tape in terms of how the Bears shift their protections, how they do those kind of things, and he exploited the hell out of it in the first half. So that was really disappointing too, because usually the Bears this year have had a very good protection plan in each game.
Yeah, here's an idea. Here's a wild concept. Perhaps run the ball earlier in the game like you allegedly want to, Ben. Maybe you should hand the ball off. I don't know. That's Micah Parsons on the defense. Seems like a pretty obvious solution to me, coming off of one of the greatest running games in Bears history. But we should probably hold on to that shit for the second half. I'm glad we required a halftime adjustment to get there.
Well, to be fair,
I think that's plenty fair. In fact, I mean, my big frustration with this game is Ben's complete inconsistency of method in his play calling. Like, that last drive was beyond the pale for me. And we knew this coming over from Detroit. He's got one weakness, and it's that sometimes he just outthinks himself, man. And that whole last drive, it's like he wasn't sure what to do, and then he knew for a second, like, we have to run the clock out, because if we give the ball back to Green Bay, they're just going to score, right?
Well, hold on.
And the second he goes through the motions there with the run game, he gets down, he hits 26 seconds, and you can see his brain is like, wait a minute, did I fuck up? Like, we didn't get the first down. Now I have to get a first down. Do I have to get a first down? Do I have to get a fucking touchdown? What do I have to do? What play am I going to run? And then he hits the button on the same damn play we ran against Philadelphia. Shock of all shocks, the Packers see that coming. Caleb's throwing the ball into the end zone. Why is he throwing the ball into the goddamn end zone, Ben? Like, today, Ben is going over the play. He's like, well, if he had thrown it a little bit earlier and he had thrown it a bit deeper, maybe Cole has a chance. I think he was coming open. Why do you want a touchdown there, Ben? Was it the whole point to run out the clock? Is that what you were doing? It's frustrating to me. And it felt like that for the whole game. Like, I think lost within how good we are at our second half adjustments, we are not coming into these games well prepared, because the first half for the Bears, sometimes it is very slow and it looks very bad. Caleb misses a lot of passes early, and I know some of that is on Caleb. Some of it's on wide receiver drops. It just feels like we don't get going very fast. We pick it up in the second half. It frustrates me. I think some of it comes down to the play calling. And I don't want to get to the point on this podcast where I can't say, Ben, you did something wrong, right? I think he's been obviously a huge positive for the Bears. This is not like an indictment on Ben Johnson overall. But I think sometimes he is trying to 4D chess these other guys when the most obvious solution is, they've got Micah fucking Parsons. The Panthers won by running the ball down their throat. Like, this is what you do to the Packers. Just hand the... You just dominated the Eagles on the ground, and you're just throwing the ball to run it later.
Well,
it feels backwards to me. You tell me why that is not backwards.
Well, I will say this. We'll get back to the last drive in a second, because I do agree with you that I think he got into his own head on that last drive, 100%. I was going to say, in the first half, I do think it's a little easy. It's always easy in hindsight to say, oh, you should have come out running the ball, blah, blah. But I think on both of those first two drives, like, the game script, I don't think they didn't want to run. The game script just goes against them so quickly. It's just, on the first drive, they got a 5-yard run to start, and then it's second and five. That's a neutral situation, and that's when you do maybe attempt to play action pass against a defense like that, because it's not an expected pass. They can't send the dogs on you. And then, you know, the pass is in that case, Caleb fired the ball to Burden. When I first watched it, I was like, oh no, Caleb missed again for this first pass of the game. And then you turn around and you watch it again, and it's actually an accurate ball. Burden's just not ready for it. And we'll talk about Luther here in a second, because he's still doing some of the stuff that we were talking about last week, where he's in the wrong place, and he's still, and I'm willing to bet, based on how Caleb has been playing with anticipation this year and how Burden has been playing confused, Luther probably should have been ready for that ball when Caleb had it on him. So I don't think that was actually an inaccurate throw like it looked like originally. The second throw was definitely a miss by Caleb. But yeah, I mean, once you miss on second and five, then it's third and five. You got to throw it on third and five. So, and then the second drive, I think they did run it on first down, and then second down, Caleb hits, or no, it was first down, Caleb hits, or no, it was second down, yeah, Caleb hits Loveland with a beautiful dot off play action.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at that play call. And it was a beautiful pass, and Loveland's got to hang on to the fucking ball. Like, we have
that
to,
pass might have been Caleb's best.
It was
season,
an incredible
honestly.
Pass. And then it caught. And then it's second and 10, and then Loveland fucking false starts. And then it's second and 15. And are you really going to run the ball on second and 15? Like, so it's one of those things where it's like, I'm sure Ben probably had every intention of trying to establish the run in the first half. And then it just takes, that's the problem with being run heavy, is all it takes is one stuffed run and one false start. And all of a sudden you are back. That's why it's so hard. That's why normally Ben tries to live off explosives, because the whole point of explosives is you can get one 40-yard chunk play, and it's so hard to play a game where you need to stay ahead of the sticks and on schedule every single play, because you need to stack 8, 9, 10, 11 plays in a row. And the Bears just have too many moving parts and too many young players to do that. So I don't think he didn't attempt to establish the run. I just think Colston Loveland dropped a ball and flipped what should have been first and 10 at the Packers 20, where I'm sure they probably would have then tried to run the damn ball. Next thing you know, it's second and 15. And then, yeah, you're trying to pass again. They know you're trying to pass. They've got the Brian Flores is the Hobgoblin. They've got Micah Parsons, fucking demon from hell. So I don't think that Ben overthought things in terms of the run game in the first half. I just think, you know, you drop a ball and the script goes backwards on you, and then you're in a shit situation. And sometimes that just happens. So I don't really blame him for that, as a lot of people do. Like, I do. Yeah. On the last drive of the game, like, I think if you're playing that drive the way he played it all the way down there, and your goal is to, you have the timeout and your goal up till that point is to kill the clock, and you're running the ball and you're gaining yards just because you got stopped on third and one, I don't think that's the time to get spooked. I think you fucking run it again, man.
Yeah,
I do. So that's, I agree. That's, and then you have, and
I
that's
hate,
the thing.
I hate, he keeps substituting out Monongai also for DeAndre Swift on these
in short downs. Yardage plays. That, in that's short, weird.
And then he never hands it off. And the thing is, DeAndre's put on a lot of muscle. He falls forward a lot. He runs through guys. It's not necessarily a bad idea to let DeAndre, you know, take those handoffs, but he also never hands it off.
Yeah.
You know, he loves to throw the ball, and we have fucked those up, you know, well, over and over again. The thing is, we're at the point in the season too, where you can't just say, a wide receiver was in the wrong spot, a tight end was in the wrong spot. I'm not saying it's Caleb's fault. What I'm saying is, as a head coach, God, you got to know that Luther Burden is not on his game 100% right now. He's not fully ready. He's often in the wrong place. Like, and it's been a problem with this team overall. The core of this team has been being able to run the rock, especially in the second half.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're doing there. You know, fourth and inches.
And I'll also say, if you are going to pass there, and like, I'm not the kind of, I mean, I don't think I'm as militant against it. I mean, you're a pound the rock guy, God knows.
Yeah.
But I, on those fourth and gotta have it plays, I hate fucking rollouts on and cutting the field in half on those plays. I have always hated that. I despise it.
What is going to save us? If nobody is open downfield,
I think the problem is
running. You can't run when you're rolling out, you know?
Well, and the problem
is going
that,
to that side of the field.
Well, and the problem there is running the same play as last week against the Eagles is that Caleb peeks at Kmet first and takes that shot for the kill shot against the Eagles, and that was awesome. But he also did that because Caleb, at that moment in time, they're already leading. They're already in control of the game. Mm. Caleb is thinking touchdown first there. That's why he peaks. That's why it's on time. That's why it's a perfect throw. On that play, you can see Caleb is thinking first down first. Like, so he's, and I think that's why Caleb's a little late to see Kmet there. And I don't think it's a processing thing. So, you know, people are always trying to make it a processing thing with Caleb, which is dumb. He's been fantastic processing against Vic Fangio and against what Halfley was doing. And he's been fantastic processing and making good decisions for weeks now. But I think the reason he peeks at Kmet last is Caleb's thinking first down on that play versus the Eagles. He was thinking touchdown because they were already in control. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to take my chance for a kill shot. And if I don't get it, whatever, we run the ball. And I don't think it was, what was it? Second down, third down. I mean, they had another, it was not the end of the, so that's why he's in that mindset. But on fourth and one, Caleb's first thought is get the first down. So you can see Caleb, he peeks at Swift. Swift doesn't have enough separation. He could maybe have instantly thrown it to Swift, and Swift maybe fights his way through, but I can see why Caleb didn't throw that, because there's two Packers right on him, and the Packers are fucking fast.
Yeah.
They did not allow a goddamn bit of yak all day. They have incredible speed to the perimeter, so I can see why Caleb didn't do that. And then Caleb also peeks to see if he can get the edge on the run, decides he can't, and then he sees Kmet a tick too late. And also Nixon, Kayson Nixon, Nate made an amazing play. Like he picked that up entire, that he wasn't supposed to even be on Kmet there. He felt, sniffed out that it was the same play, felt Kmet behind him, had incredible recovery, got back there. So, I mean, first of all, it is really okay sometimes to just admit that the Packers defense, which has been a top 10 unit in any way you want to slice it pretty much this year, is good and made a good play there. First and foremost, but also like that's why I don't love that play call for Caleb there, because he's thinking first down first, and it causes just that split second of hesitation that he doesn't go for the kill shot to Kmet like he did last week, because that was a spot where he was truly looking not to stay alive, but to go for the kill shot if it was there. And then so if you're gonna pass on that fourth and gotta have it, and I don't hate that, I really don't. You got to go five wide, I think. You got to put Caleb in empty where he has been making 100%. Great decisions, where you stretch Green Bay, and then I like his chances of picking it up with his legs more in that kind of situation too. So and you don't cut the field in half. You don't cut his options. And Caleb has just historically, since college, been very effective in empty. Like that's when he makes good decisions. So that's what I don't love either. If you're going to pass, then just like fucking pass, really legit pass. Go empty. Mm-hmm. Trust the kid to figure out how to make, you know, all you got to get's 1 yard. It's not that they got to leave somebody open or he's got to scramble. Like there will be weaknesses there. I would have preferred that rather than basically cutting his options down to half the field anyways.
Thing about that play is, yeah, it worked against Philadelphia to get a touchdown to Cole Kmet. It also took like a perfect pass from Caleb Williams, right? And we have run that play before this season, before the Eagles game, and it didn't fucking work. Like this is a play that I have griped about previously on the Scodcast about like what the hell were we doing with that play? Why is there a screen and a guy being run across? Why is everybody always covered on this play? It worked once. It worked one time, and when you go back to the well like this over and over, yeah, you've got Keyshawn Nixon going like, oh yeah, I remember this one. They do this. They do this on fourth down. This is like their thing. This is his go-to button. And he pressed it again for absolutely no reason. But you're 100% right. Like, what is the thing that Caleb always does in these short-yarded situations? He evades a sack, and he runs for a first down.
Right.
You roll him out. You run every receiving option to the side of the field that he's rolled out to. And guess what? He can't run. Everyone on defense is over there now staring him in the face. Yeah. So he can't run. Your first option is a fucking bubble screen. And then you've got DJ Moore, who's covered only because the Packers have guys watching Caleb because they assume he's got to run on this play if they haven't already handed it off. So, yeah, now you're down to Cole Kmet in the end zone. You wonder why Caleb's hesitating. It's because Ben Johnson just wasted three plays trying to kill clock, telling Caleb not to throw a touchdown. Yeah. Don't get the touchdown too quick, Caleb. That's what that message sends. He is using his brain, Caleb is. And Ben is just saying, I don't fucking know. I think you just got freaked out.
Right. I think you just have to commit there. Like, if you're going to run yourself all the way into that fourth and one, you got to run yourself out of it. If you're going to try to pass the ball and go for the timeout, then that needs what you needed to do. You needed to give yourself more than one crack at it.
Fuck it, my defense is going to take care of it. If you want to allow for the defense to do it, you sure as shit don't stop Caleb's momentum because he was completely on fire at that point. He has a touchdown within the next one or two plays, guaranteed. And instead, you run the clock, and it's a decision I understand. I respect the idea because I would also be pretty terrified of an explosive play. Nashawn Wright wasn't coming back into the game. Right. So we are down to McLeod. We are down to a very tired CJ Gardner-Johnson who had a bad day. We've got like Byard, Jaquan Brisker is frustrated on the sideline. Like maybe you don't want to put your defense through that. I get it. But if you're going to do that, you have to fucking do it. You're leaving zeros on the clock, and you are sure as shit hoping that Kyle Minogue guy could get inches in the same way that he has all season. Like, if he doesn't get it on the first blow, Darnell's just going to grab him and run him through the line, you know? Still, that's probably enough ripping on Ben. I think he called a really good game for the majority of this game.
Well, and that's what I said. I think even in the first half, like, I don't think he got away from the run intentionally by any means. It's just that is the problem with these. And that's kind of, you know, the Washington Commanders, why I've been skeptical of what they were able to do last year with Jaden Daniels and sustain it this year, is because that entire offense looks fantastic as long as you don't ever fuck up a single play. Like, if you can run for 4 yards every down, and if you convert 90% of your fourth downs, and if every scramble works out positively, you know, it's an EPA god, but all it takes is, you know, one guy drops a ball and all of a sudden you're in a 3rd and 10 and you're like, ah, shit, we didn't really plan for this. And so that's why, you know, and Ben understands that. I think normally that's why he normally likes to get the explosive passing plays, and then that opens up room for the run. But against Green Bay, they're just not going to give you those explosives. Your offensive line's not going to hold up very well, so it really puts them in a bind, and they can't really. And that's the one frustration with this Bears passing offense, is that they really don't have like a quick game to turn to. And whatever, people can say what they want, I don't think that's got anything to do with Caleb Williams, because Caleb Williams, actually last year, the only thing he did well really was quick game. Like, that was all Waldron's off. Caleb was great at throwing slants. He was great at throwing, like, he was PFF's like 10th greatest, highest grading quarterback on short throws. Like, that's, Caleb has that in him. I think it's more that these weapons, as they, especially with Rome out, as they're currently constituted, they're just not built for quick, because quick game, you need to win quickly and you need to be in the right spot at all times, because the ball's bop up. There's not time to make a read. The ball's coming out. So, and right now, you can't trust DJ Moore to win quickly or be in the right spot. You can't trust Luther Burden to be in the right spot. He can win quickly. Love that about him. But you can't trust him to be in the right spot.
Not yet.
There was that 1 3rd down play where he and DJ just flat ran into each other. And I could tell it was going to happen. Very few times before the ball has even been snapped this year have I just known something bad was going to happen for the Bears. I've actually mostly been optimistic about their offense with good reason. But that specific 3rd down, I was literally typing into the Discord, like, this is going to go horribly, because you could see Caleb, like, gesturing furiously at Burden where he was supposed to go. DJ was, like, waving him over, and I'm like, the kid has no fucking – there is a 0% chance that Luther Burden is about to run the correct route on this play here. It is what it is. Like, I think it's funny, because this is another situation where I feel like the national media is much more positive on the Bears after a game like this than the local media.
Yeah.
Because the local media is carrying all those years of Bears angst, and they're saying, well, none of it matters if we still can't beat the Packers. None of it matters. And Caleb choked at the end, blah, blah, blah. The national media is saying, look, the Bears are a young team, especially on offense. They're still putting it together. Mm-hmm. Caleb is still young and just scratching the surface. They took Green Bay to the mat in their house, like, down to the final play. That's impressive. That's a legit win, or that's a legit performance there. And I think that should really be the takeaway there, even though there are no moral victories in the NFL. And I don't feel like – I feel like everyone's telling themselves, like, that's okay, we'll get them in 2 weeks at Soldier Field. And I'm guessing – if they don't get them in 2 weeks in Soldier Field, it won't be such a feel good story that we competed so hard with them in this game. But yeah, I think there's just a lot of stuff still coming together on offense, but they still managed in the second half to battle back, tie the game. Really wish the defense didn't instantly give up a touchdown the second they tied it, but I think we all kind of expected that to happen. I will say, you don't want to criticize Dennis Allen too much. I will a bit, just because.
Go for it. He did some bad shit here.
Well, I mean, here, Jordan Love, the two stories that granted, the Packers got Jaden Reed and they got Christian Watson back, which makes a big difference, because those two are. But I still think your best hope, as the Bears defense is currently constituted, and given how effective Jordan Love has been at destroying fucking blitzes all year long, DA needed, I think, to just fight his own impulses and just play. Just challenge those wide receivers and play coverage.
Yeah.
And the few drives that they succeeded, that's what happened. But every single time they went to the blitz, Love destroyed them. And he didn't pick up on that fast enough. And the stubbornness there
There wasn't even pressure coming from the blitzes. You know, no, it was just wasting guys.
Yeah, it was just wasting guys. It's one thing if the blitzes are getting any kind of pressure. The only one that came even close was the very first one with TJ Edwards came unblocked and Love fired one off his back foot and had a really nice completion. And that's one where I was like, man, I wish Tremaine Edmonds was healthy because I think he would have been the blitzer on that and he would have gotten home. But TJ Edwards is just a step too slow these days. To do that. And I thought TJ mostly was one of the few defenders I thought had a pretty good game. He's just not very fast. But man, otherwise on defense, I thought Jaquan Brisker had a horrible fucking game. There was one play specifically where he let Jacobs beat him to the edge and gain a good 6-7 yards after the catch that really pissed me off because that is.
Oh, he got beat to the edge.
A second round pick.
Game. Early
a
in
second
the
round pick on a fucking box safety. I have never been.
Yeah,
it's taken it was, a lot for me not to be mad at that pick for Jaquan Brisker.
There was a
like,
third
if you
down.
Can't make that play. What the fuck play can you make?
Yeah, there was a third down earlier. It was like third and two, and Jacobs is running around the edge, and it's Jaquan Brisker against him, and he tackles him 3 yards after he gets the first down. Like how is that possible? Like I've seen Josh
Course,
Jacobs a lot this year, and he is not that fast anymore.
Yeah, and then the Josh Jacobs play where four different Bears are in place to make the tackle for a loss and don't. I mean, that's
it's embarrassing.
So, I mean, that's tough because I mean, I can handle a lot of things, and I know there have been injuries on defense, and I know guys are but like fucking make tackles, like especially for Josh Jacobs, who has not been a dude historically, yes, but this year not been a dude breaking tackles, not been a dude that's been super elusive. So that's like. You do not have to be the most talented person in the world to make a fucking tackle. So that one's pretty brutal. And yeah, I didn't appreciate. I know Dennis. I know they can't get pressure with four. I know that, but like, that's the problem with Dennis Allen kind of being who he is and having a defensive line where he doesn't really try that hard to get pressure with four. It's mostly just design. He wants a pocket that contains, and then he'll play his games and stuff. But like, if your game plan requires you to blitz, there are just quarterbacks who fucking excel against the blitz and you, all you're going to do is hurt yourself.
Yep. Yeah. It just felt like the Bears coaching staff was not necessarily ready for what we were going to see coming into this game. Great adjustments at halftime. I mean, there were the explosives given up in the second half, but a lot of that unfortunately fell on Jalen Johnson's head, just being off in outer space and not being where he needed to be. Nation Wright had another great game. That's going to get buried in this because they just didn't have to go near him, right? They went to C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who unfortunately, because Kyler Gordon got a football to the fucking dick, I guess, wasn't in. All of a sudden, C.J. is the guy who's watching everybody on these stupid blitz attempts that are going nowhere.
Yeah,
so it looks like he's getting his ass beat. The ball's not supposed to get out. Love is supposed to get hurried. He's supposed to get hit. So he's getting run ragged. No Tyreek Stevenson. Jalen Johnson was a net negative in this game. He looked miserable.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not going to throw the panic button on Jalen whatsoever there. Like, I mean, he's still on a snap count. He still is extremely cold. Like, I'm willing to hope that he, maybe by the time that this rematch happens, he's looking more like the guy we know, and hopefully by that game too, we have Edmonds back, we have Tyreek, they can do some more stuff. But yeah, I mean, I think at this point, like, you just have to, if you're the Bears, I know his contract can't be fucking cut, but you absolutely have to approach the 2026 offseason like Kyler Gordon doesn't exist. He's not part of your plans. He's not part of your roster. If he ever shows up and plays, great, but that is not a real NFL football player at this point. Like, he's just not built for this. And guys breaking down that much in a year like this, that doesn't tend to reverse course anytime soon either. Like, he's not going to be any less likely to get injured going forward. He's going to be more likely. So you just have to, like, sucks, but you just can't count on that person. That's not a reliable NFL player.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, I put in the Discord that he is the new Tevin Jenkins to me. I just, if he's out there, I'm like, wow, that's a neat plus for a game. I expect he'll be injured again. And I can't believe it just fucking happened again before the game. Like, we get one game out of you in pregame. Oh, my dick hurts, I guess. It's so frustrating, to see where all the money on this team has gone. All the fucking money is in. DJ Moore who sucks ass, and we're barely going to be able to trade to someone. We've got, it's in the defensive line, which sucks ass and can't generate pressure and can barely stop the run. And it's in our secondary with a bunch of dudes who are injured, and the guys who are making no money, or the guys who we picked up on the off the scrap heap, like CJGJ, are the guys doing all the work out there.
Yeah.
And we've got, you know, the most expensive injured list, and I don't know, whatever the hell you want to call the defensive line at this point. It's just frustrating because we know that there's not that much.
Is there a single Ryan Poles move on defense that has netted surplus value other than
Billings?
Billings, yeah.
That's pretty much it.
And even he, I mean, like, after he got extended, not that he's being paid a whole lot even after the extension, but, like, has he been, like, this year, has he been better than what he's being paid, or has he just been a somewhat useful run-stuffing rotational?
He was bad earlier in the season. He's been pretty good, I would say. But I do think that one play a game where Big Bill just runs the center through the backfield, but he goes past the running back and never touches him is very funny. That's becoming a real thing he does every single game. But yeah, you're probably right. Like, after the extension, I doubt that that it's
and
worth
then
what he's given us.
Kyler Gordon, like, I think from the minute he signed that extension, I think both of us were like, I don't know, man. That's a guy that I would really require to play a couple healthy seasons before I committed money to that. Because, I mean, like, it's funny, but, you know, I don't praise the Ryan the former very much on here, but Ryan Pace at least knew not to pay Bryce Callahan because he was like, yeah, he's a great nickel, but he always fucking hurt.
That's
and
right.
Those guys, and it's a demanding position. The guys that play it tend to be undersized, and those guys don't stop breaking down once they start. So,
yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, you think of a thing like Kevin Byard, I'm sure people are thinking like, oh, he's been really good. Yeah, but like, we paid for that guy in free agency. When the Bears signed that deal, you and I both went like, like that quickly? You're overpaying for him. Like, it's a fucking safety. Like, why are you doing this? So he's been good.
Safety off the board in a very flush safety market.
Yeah, he's getting paid for it. He's getting paid to be good. Like, it's not surplus value, as you said. It's not value added.
Right.
Corporate America, thank you.
Right, and I don't want to, I mean, like, I don't want to, we don't like to reduce players to fucking surplus value and all this money ball shit. Like, players are players.
This isn't about Kevin Byard.
The problem is that the NFL is a salary cap league. So if you want to be an elite team, you do have to find guys who massively outperform their draft slot or massively outperform their contract. And as we said with Ryan Poles, like, yeah, he's had some moves where he got a dollar for a dollar. Like, Caleb Williams, we think, is a good quarterback. I think he's going to be a great one, but, like, that's the expectation for a guy taken at 1-1. Roma Dunze looks pretty good. I think he's a good wide receiver. I don't know if we can say he's a great one yet, but at the same time, like, the expectation for a wide receiver taken at 9 is that he should be a great one. So even if he's just a good one, that's mildly disappointing for 9. Colston Loveland maybe looks like a star, but at the same time, it's kind of hard for a star tight end taken at 10, who's already now one of the highest paid tight ends in the sport because of that, to really truly exceed. So it's just like, and then there aren't guys in the lower rounds that outproduce their draft slot there. He keeps thinking when he signs guys like Dio Odengbo, you know, he's like, oh, this is the time where I sign this young up-and-coming edge rusher, and you just wait, he's going to develop into a star on our team. Yeah. He keeps doing that with those guys, and none of them ever do. He keeps convincing himself he's found some. He'd have been better off just paying actual market value for Danielle Hunter in that same free agency period, because guess what? Sometimes it's just worth paying for a guy that actually gets fucking pressure.
Oh, I am so not ready for the fucking Dio Dangbo's back. Maybe our defensive line will be better pieces next offseason, next preseason.
I think we're probably safe from those. I don't think that's going to
happen.
You
think so?
Tell you what, buddy. If you ever get a single, maybe Dio Odengbo is going to save the day article, you send that to me, and I'll be like, you know what? Holy shit. You were right.
We're going to do a whole fucking podcast on it. If that comes out, I will bring it.
Loyal Scottcast listeners. We have loyal fans in the Discord. They'll keep us accountable there. You all keep your eyes out. If there's a positive Dio Odengbo article next summer about how he's the missing piece, there'll be egg on my face. I don't think that's going to happen.
Now, Okay, we're 40 minutes into this thing. We've talked about all the things that went wrong. We lost to the Packers. That sucks. I mean, you teased that I was going to be pretty positive about this coming in. I feel very good about this. I know I kind of, I'm nitpicking here, right? I'm saying, Ben, I don't like the plays you called here and here. I think you need to be more consistent. Dennis Allen, I like how you call a defense generally. Right, you need to think about what you're doing.
There's the microscopic. We've put the microscope to it because here's the thing.
Darnell had a bad game. You and I love Darnell. All right, yeah, this is the thing. Micah Parsons does that to everybody. Doesn't matter.
We were just saying last week when they beat the Eagles, they are a legit good team, and it's okay to have hopes and expectations now. So part of that means when you lose a game like this, that at the end was potentially winnable, it does fucking suck, and it's okay to be upset about that. Now I got to take the macro view.
Yeah.
Look at the season as a whole. Look at the position that the Bears are in, where you thought they'd be with the holes they have. They have a great opportunity on Sunday. You beat the Browns. You've got 10 fucking wins, which all of us would have been over the moon here in August.
If you had predicted 10 wins, Kyle, I would have been like, you are fucking nuts. Like, this team is getting nowhere near 10 wins, buddy. Like, 10 wins would be a miracle.
I think I had 9 as my bet. My prediction, I think, was 8-9. But I said, if things, a couple things break right, 9-8. And then I said, of course, the Caleb Super Saiyan possibility was like 11 or 12. So, yeah. And I still think that because, you know, if we get Super Saiyan Caleb, if we get second half Caleb from that game.
Oh, yeah.
For the next three games, we could still win 12, 13 games here. So we'll see. But, yeah, I mean, it definitely felt at halftime like, oh, well, this is the Bears-Packers game that we've seen a million times in our lives. This is the game where, you know, Jay's debut 2009 or Jay's second life in 2012 when he got Alshon and Brandon, he thought things were going to be different. Mitch in 2019 fielded all the times that the Packers were right there to square you up and kick you like Kyler Gordon's groin and tell you, like, you aren't real, motherfuckers.
That's right.
We are real. You're not real. And so at halftime, it was starting to feel like that. But the Bears rallied back. They're like, no, we're different. There's fight in us. There's talent here. We will be a thorn in your side. So hopefully in 2 weeks, they can make good on that threat. That would definitely heal all wounds if they can do that in 2 weeks. But yeah, I mean, I think neither of us is super, super upset about what happened in that game. It's just that's a tough loss on the road against probably on paper. If it's not the Rams, it's the Packers in terms of best team in the NFC right now.
Yeah, I was extremely encouraged. I mean, this was probably the best primetime game I've seen all season. Just as far as a pure football game, it was two clearly great teams going blow for blow. And it came right down to the wire. It was a fantastic game. You know, it felt like the Bears belonged, which, like, I mean, you think back to 2001, didn't really feel like the Bears belonged, right? We played the Packers twice. They beat our asses, and it was like, yeah, that's our place. We know what our place is. It's okay. Like, we're going to lose in the playoffs. It's fine. 2018, same thing. You remember that stupid win against the Rams, and it was like, I don't know about this team. Like, they won, but ooh, like, they don't look so great. This right here, like, the Eagles win was huge. That had me being like, all right, this is a real team. We're a real contender in the NFL. Maybe it's not a Super Bowl caliber team, but we're absolutely up there with a bunch of other teams with flaws in them. For whatever reason, you know, this loss here, I was thinking like, oh, we're firmly in that tier. There is not another team who I'm going into where I'm like, oh, we're dead in the water against this team. I think this team will put up a fight against anybody. And yeah, hopefully in 2 weeks, things go a little bit differently. We're prepared. We know that Micah Parsons is unstoppable, which we should have already known. But, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week. I almost took Micah Parsons as a given. Like, yeah, but he runs past everybody all the time anyway. Like, you're going to be prepared for that because he's fucking unblockable. And we did figure it out by the second half. So hopefully
They maybe were a little overconfident because, I mean, the Steelers have a good the Giants have a great defensive line. The Bears handled them without much issue. Have a good defensive line. The Bears handled them without any issue. The Eagles have a good defensive line. The Bears handled them with no issue. So I think they were maybe not overconfident to think, okay, Parsons is going to get his, but he's not going to fucking wreck us.
They forgot Max Crosby. They forgot that Raiders game. It was too long ago.
To be fair, Darnell Wright missed that game. So they thought, like, okay, our guy. And I will say that was my disappointment with Darnell in that game was Micah Parsons is going to get his. I thought Darnell would at least blank Rashawn Gary. And he got beat by Gary a couple times. That was a real pain in the ass. Because I think their game plan kind of accounted for, like, yeah, Parsons is just going to get his. But you can't also let Gary through. So that was the real problem there. So.
Yeah, definitely looking for improvements from that Bears offensive line in the next one. But hey, we got the Browns coming up here. The hapless Browns. Shedeur Sanders looked pretty fun against Tennessee. Of course, they have a terrible defense and nothing to play for in Tennessee. But he did look pretty good. I mean, Myles Garrett is like
the only guy I'm
more terrified of than Micah Parsons, though.
Yeah, I mean, am I confident in the Bears in this game? Yes, they think they'll find a way, but I would feel a bit more confident about their plan for Myles Garrett if I had not just seen their plan for Micah Parsons, which wasn't good.
The plan is hand the fucking ball off a little bit.
I guess.
And then
we
play action pass.
And then, yeah, I mean, the problem with Shedeur Sanders is that he makes a lot of stupid decisions under pressure, but the Bears don't pressure anybody. So that's not great.
I think what Dennis Allen does is really good against
I think he should be able to baffle Shedeur. Yeah, I'm not super panicked about it, but yeah, that's the Bears have a good opportunity to get to 10 wins. They're at home, you know. One thing I do trust Ben to do is certainly use the way that game ended as fuel to make sure that they're ready to go this week. Hopefully we have Rome back.
Yep.
But yeah, it is what it is. I wish they had managed to somehow pull that off, but
that's what happens. Sometimes two good teams play football and one of them must lose. And that's what happened.
Well, friend
we're still 9-4. Like I said last week, this game honestly just didn't matter that much for the Bears because we have this Browns game. The Packers have to play the Broncos. We could be playing the Broncos, the Packers again in 2 weeks in the same exact position we just played this game. We're half a game up on them in the North.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be shocking. It would be, I think, the favored result at this point. If Bo Nix does his job, Kyle, and the 11-2 Broncos...
Did you see
the Green Bay Packers?
Bo Nix had 31 completions for 212 yards.
Yeah, that's a Bo Nix stat line.
I almost lost my fucking mind because Dan Bernstein or whatever, who's gone full crank a couple weeks ago, was talking about Bo Nix and was like, that's a guy who's taking the next step or the next lays at the next level compared to Caleb. And it's literally just completion percentage. You fucking morons are so easily... It's a jangling set of keys. You see a guy go 22 for 25 or whatever. You're like, oh my God, he must be amazing. You don't look at the yards. You don't look at the fucking points. It's just quarterback completed pass. He must be good. Like fucking Shane Matthews. I'm surprised Shane Matthews didn't blow your fucking minds.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they've just forgotten what fun is when you watch a football game. Like, you don't want that guy. You don't want Bo Nix. Like, Broncos fans don't want Bo Nix, man. Like,
Them still do. I still run into some in the wild who are like, talk about Bo Nix like that.
Broncos like, fans suck. That's not wrong. We'll do a ranking sometime of worst fans in
football. That should be good. Yeah, we'll just do Scott Cass ranking of all 32 fan bases.
When we rank the Discord on that, there were some diverse opinions. Like, really,
interesting is that's the other thing is too is that like I have to actually. I mean, I'm sure it's probably because I do a decent job curating my timeline these days. But like, including our own token Packer fan, Scottcast guest Nikki Beeps. Mm-hmm. I've mostly seen good takes from Packers fans since that game. You know, Theo Ash, big guy on TikTok and on Twitter, NFL guy. He was like, Caleb is very nice. I am afraid. So that was nice to see. A couple other Packers fans were like, Bears fans, you guys need mental help because you should be really happy with what Caleb just did there. Like, second half. I mean, and Ben Johnson pointed out, like, the Packers – coming into that game had been allowing 13 points a game and 240 total yards of offense per game at Lambeau this year. Like that was As ugly as it felt, that was by far the best offensive performance by any team against the Packers in their house this year. So, like, that was impressive. And, of course, Bears fans have no perspective on anything. So, but yeah, the Packers fans have mostly not pissed me off. A lot of them are like, yeah, I had the genuine fear of God there of that kid on those last couple of drives. He seemed unstoppable there.
If Ben had just let him go, we would have scored a touchdown. Now, would the Bears have still lost, probably given up a long field goal to end the game? Yes, we probably would have given them too much time. But man, yeah. Caleb couldn't do anything wrong. In that second half, it felt like he was so good.
Well, and I will say that Caleb, that last pass of the game is something that has been consistently the Caleb Williams paradox in this offense this year, is that, like, do you guys think that, like, if Tyson Bagent was actually in at quarterback for the Bears, do you think that throw to Kmet is even on the menu?
Yeah, right.
Like, rolling his whole body to his left, can't set his feet. You really think any other quarterback's even going to be asked to make that throw? Yeah. And that's where you know, people focus on the completion percentages, the numbers and stuff. And, like, I don't think you guys understand the degree of difficulty of what Caleb is being asked to do in this offense weekly is so high. And yeah, he's not complete. He's not being as efficient as you would want, as Ben eventually hopes. But the reason Ben is still asking him to do it is that Ben knows that he's capable of it and that he's going to get there somewhere. And you get there by doing it. Yeah. And so, like, that throw, yeah, you're disappointed that he couldn't make a perfect throw there. But, like, that throw is one that most guys don't even attempt. And so many of those plays today where he got out of the pocket, and yeah, he had to throw it away, and you're mad because it was completion. So many of those are just plays that are sacks for 31 other quarterbacks. Like, you just have to keep some perspective on that. And this was actually something Kurt Warner talked about on NFL Network last week, because he was talking about Drake May, he was talking about Caleb. And this is something that, it, you know, dear Scottcast friend Robert Schmitz had talked about with Caleb too, is that, like, sometimes you have to understand where Caleb has an extra tick or whatever processing is that the menu of options, and you saw it right there on that fourth and one play, the menu of options for Caleb Williams on any given play is like four times what a Jared Goff has. Because I can tell you, on that fourth and one play, if they had even attempted to run a play like that with Jared Goff, he probably rolls half as far as Caleb did, and he immediately throws it to commit because it's the only option he has.
Yeah.
He's not thinking about, oh, can I get to the edge? He knows he can't. He's not thinking, oh, can I sidearm that in to Swift? No, because he knows he can't. Caleb has four options on every play, and sometimes he's having a hard time sometimes figuring out which one to go with, but it's worth riding with that, because eventually when he has made all of those calibrations, you get a guy like Josh Allen, where Josh Allen had the same problem early in his career, where it's like, I don't know, do I try to scramble here and shake off four defenders, or do I throw it 75 yards on the run, because I'm capable of both of those things.
Yeah.
You just, it's going to hit eventually. And that's why I always feel better listening to Ben's post game or his day after when he talks about Caleb too, because Ben always seems to understand that too. Cause he was asked about the completion percentage, and he's like, yes, I understand. I'm hearing your question. Obviously we're harping on it, but there's things we can do better. You know, at the same time, there was a lot of throwaways and there was a lot of, oh my God, that's the greatest play I've ever seen in my life plays in that game. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I think once we get that consistency, we're going to be able to do some really special things all of the time. And it's going to be really something to see. Like, Ben understands that, like, it's, I know everyone's so fucking sick of hearing. It's close. It's so fucking close.
This team is not fully locked in yet, not in the passing game, not in the running game, not defensively. And we just took probably the team that we would see in the NFC Championship game if we made it there to the limit, to the final play of the game at Lambeau Field. Like, that's where the Bears are at. The future is bright. This season is still very bright because we haven't had anything resembling a complete game yet with this team, you know, and we're 9-4 and there is so much talent. Roma Dunze wasn't in this game. We thought we'd have our secondary back. We didn't have Kyler, and JJ was just, I don't know what was up to. I don't know if they shot him up with something and he was just out there spacing off.
Well,
I think when he was supposed to fall back.
Well, I think Jalen is just a guy that's like, you know, he's been injured. He re-injured himself earlier. I think he's getting sure of himself in his own body again. He's trying not to re-injure himself. It was fucking freezing. You know, it's hard to take a hit in that kind of weather. So I'm not really mad at I mean, obviously, if we're still having this, if Jalen still looks like that in 4 weeks, we got problems. But, like, you kind of have to make an allowance for a guy like that who didn't really even get in a lot of practices in this system to kind of work his way in. I mean, it just goes to show we were probably too overconfident that, you know, like, oh, they'll get Jalen and Kyler back, and it's the same, you know, we'll get actual, no, right now we're getting preseason Jalen and Kyler back. So hopefully in a week or two, maybe it's starting to look more like the guy. Well, not Kyler, he's fucking dead. But Jalen hopefully maybe starts to look like the guy we expect. Hopefully we're getting Tyreek Stevenson here back soon too, and you could at least run for the first time all season a legit four deep group at corner. But yeah, I mean,
we can dream, but this is the NFL too. You know, everybody's dealing with injuries. It's not just us. Green Bay's been dealing with injuries too. They had injuries on the defense.
Right, and that's why the bigger problem is that Ryan Poles built a defense that, you know, doesn't have a functioning defensive line.
Correct. So. Yes, the issue is all our money is going towards minus players right now. We barely touched on DJ Moore. DJ Moore in a game where our top wide receiver, who is Rome Odunze, who has supplanted him for that spot, is out. In a game where Luther Burden doesn't really know what he's doing, maybe I didn't really look at what position he was playing. Maybe some of that is because he was filling in for Rome. Maybe he could barely figure out his own position. I bet if he's moving back and forth between the Z and the X, that's probably not super great for Luther Burden either. In a game where we really needed a number one wide receiver.
Well, it just goes to show you how they know. DJ Moore
was fucking gone.
Well, it just goes to show you how they don't believe in DJ Moore at all, because with Rome out, they didn't swap DJ into the Rome role where they move him around and give him all the... No, they put Zacchaeus in there because they at least trust Zacchaeus to be where he's supposed to be. They don't trust DJ Moore at all. And there are still some Bears fans still hanging on to this DJ Moore myth that he's just this great player. And I get it, the 1,000-yard streak, blah, 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 with bad quarter. But if you go back and look at his career, 2023 is like an outlier in his career. But like, if you look at his success rate, his yards per target, etc., his last 2 years in Carolina, very similar, pretty much identical to what he's had the last 2 years with the Bears. It's just that the Bears don't force feed him 150 targets because he's not the only player with a pulse on a bad offense like he was in Carolina. But for most of his career, other than that 1 year with Fields and Getsy, where basically the entire playbook was Luke Getsy lets him do whatever the fuck he wants, and Justin Fields doesn't look at anybody else, he's not really been that player. And it's time, far past time, people accept that DJ Moore is just not, he's just not a winning football player in a system like this.
This is a dude who will not be on the Bears roster next season. I can almost guarantee it. I just don't know what we're going to get for him at this point. I think we're going to get a prayer that somebody will actually eat his full salary.
Yeah, I think people are going to be, I think we might have to package a low pick with him to get somebody to eat that contract, unfortunately.
Just an absolute travesty from DJ. Yeah, this game definitely was the final nail in the coffin for me with DJ. Like, he was a positive presence for a little while, I guess while the Bears were winning, right? But seemed he was pouty on the field after this game, wasn't he? And he's just, apparently you can't play him, you can't trust him, you can't win with him, Kyle. You can't do it. Can't do it.
I want winners. I want players that want to win.
Get him the fuck out of here. Maybe find somebody to take Kyler too, and they can deal with him playing 8 games a year.
And oh my God, his effort on scramble drills is, I'm just so fucking sick and tired. Because Caleb, that is the one.
Is pointing downfield, and he is waving at people in this game like, get your ass back to me, and that is just not coming.
That is the only, that should be the one area where DJ Moore can still thrive. If you are a guy whose one ability is ad-libbing and getting yak, you can't play on time, you can't win early, you can't do any of that shit, scramble drill should be your fucking dream, but he just doesn't give a shit. He doesn't try, or at the very, if I want to be charitable and say that the effort is there, and he has, I will say, he has been working hard on run blocking and stuff compared to early in the year. So if I want to be charitable there on the effort, then I have to admit that he just has the worst fucking instincts imaginable. He just never knows what to do on a scramble drill dead because he never does the right thing. It's so fucking frustrating.
He turns around, he looks for the ball. If it isn't coming, he stops. That's
pretty
it.
Much.
That's DJ Moore. So yeah, I mean, overall, super positive. Like, the Bears are 9-4. We're heading into Cleveland. We could be 10-4 after that game. It's been an exciting season, man. I've been having a lot of fun watching the foosball. Kyle, we have a lot of new viewers. Should we give people a question for the first time in a few weeks? Open it up
Oh, do some new invites? We still bumping up those numbers? All right. Yeah, folks.
Yeah, I didn't mention that before this, but yeah, we got a lot more people again.
Travis is always scared of inflating my ego.
Folks, it is crushing me. All right.
Yeah.
It is.
So folks, if you want to join us on the Start Kyle Orton Discord, where we got like 70 people in there now these days. Always the most sane place to enjoy a nice game day Bears thread with a bunch of people who are kind and not insane and, you know, fairly rational. We do allow plenty of dooming and meatballing in there as long as everyone's being nice, but it's much better than like the Bears Twitter experience, I'll tell you that much. But if you want an invite to the Bears Discord, you need to email Travis or what's the email address again, Travis?
Email us. I send you everything we get. It's startkyleorton@gmail.com.
I don't even know the password.
I'll send you the password. You can get in there if you want, man. It's the world's stupidest password. It's not easy to guess, though, people. You won't get it. But startkyleorton@gmail.com. No fuckery in there. It's just the letters.
What is our question for the Discord this week? All right.
What's the inquiry?
You know what? Let's do our. We have never done one of these questions that's actually Bears related before.
You're right.
So I want you to email us with your favorite Bears preseason wide receiver.
Oh, beautiful.
Whether it's Mike Haas.
No,
whether
don't tell them. Don't. I want to know.
I just want to know. Okay. All right. Well, I was just going to throw some options out there, but okay. Yeah.
You know who mine is. We'll talk about it next week. I'll talk all about mine.
Oh, I'll say who mine is. I know exactly who mine is. Favorite Bears preseason wide receiver. Absolutely.
Oh, my. This is a great time to remember some guys.
Would Kevin White be an acceptable answer for that, or is that too tragic?
That is too tragic.
That's basically all he ever did.
Kevin White does not count, everybody. Please don't send us Kevin White. All right. See you next week.
See you later, folks. Go Bears. Way out on that bumper floor. Now you know I'm leaving Chicago. And people I show do hate to go. Now you know I'm leaving.